Well, on this feast of the Most Holy Trinity, we can ask this very important question. Why does God love you? That's an important question to ask, I guess, you know. We know that God loves us, and yet why? After all, God is perfectly happy in himself. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need anyone. He is perfectly happy. Why does he go out of his way to love us? And yet this isn't our experience. It always has been from the time of the ancient Hebrews. We hear in our first reading today from the book of Deuteronomy, did anything so great ever happen before? Was it ever heard of? Did a people ever hear the voice of God speaking from the midst of fire and live? Or did any God venture to go and take a nation for himself from the midst of another nation? This is what God did. He intervened in this very powerful way to show that he loves us, that he cares about us. But why? Why should God care about us? This was an important question for the ancient peoples, and they tried to answer that question by telling stories about why their gods interacted with different people throughout history. Now, this should be relatively familiar with us today, because in pop culture today, there's all these kind of revisiting all these ancient myths, whether you're like an Avengers fan, you know, and watching about Nordic mythology with Thor and Loki and all of that, or maybe if you haven't read them yourselves, perhaps you've taken one of your children or grandchildren to see Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief. You know, in these different stories by Rick Riordan, where he revisits the Greek and the Roman legends about the gods, right? And if you have any familiarity with any of that stuff, you begin to see pretty quickly what the problem is. The more stories the ancient peoples would tell about their gods, the less godlike they seemed, you know? Well, why do our gods interact with us? Perhaps Zeus is cheating once again on his wife, you know, and in love with this human woman. Or perhaps, you know, it's perhaps they need our help for something. Perhaps the Titans are attacking, as they did, these elemental gods of an older generation, whom the gods of the Roman and Greek myths could not beat off without the help of human heroes. Or perhaps some misfortune had come to the gods. There's all kinds of good stories about that, like the time that Zeus got angry at Hephaestus, the god of the forge, and he like threw him out of heaven so hard that he like fell for a week and then crashed down somewhere, you know, and then he had to be nursed back to health. Or there's the story of Demeter, who is the goddess of the crops, and she goes around asking the people of Earth for help because she's lost her daughter, Persephone, not knowing that she's been kidnapped by the god Hades, the god of the underworld, right? So you begin to see the problem. The more stories we tell about why the gods want to interact with regular men and women, the less godlike they seem, and really the more limited and sinful they seem, and how all their interactions with the human race really only have to do with their own benefit and getting whatever they can out of the human race. So that was the problem that the ancient peoples had. And in fact, the greatest thinkers of the day, the Greek philosophers, they even began to reject completely the idea, the popular idea, of the gods. You probably studied in like your intro to philosophy class in college, if you had one, Socrates. Socrates is like the kind of great first example of one of the Greek philosophers. Well, he was condemned to death by the state of Athens because of blasphemy and corrupting the minds of the youth with this terrible teaching that these myths about the gods were not true. But what the philosophers wanted to say was, hey, if the gods are real, then they shouldn't be these limited sinful things like too much like us. They should be different. They should be filled with all goodness and all power and all virtue. And in fact, they said, there can only be one of them, because only one thing can ultimately be goodness itself and truth itself and beauty itself. And so you come to the point where Aristotle, another of the great Greek philosophers, says, there is only one God, and he is the unmoved mover. That's what he calls him, right? That he is in himself everything perfect, completely satisfied, completely happy, completely powerful within himself, and yet he's so great that somehow, without even caring about the rest of creation, he makes everything else move. So what we've done here in the Greek philosophers is we finally reach the point where the human mind has gone to its limit and it has come to understand that God is one. God is one. This is what we believe. But we're farther from away than we were before of trying to answer the question of why God loves us, because the unmoved mover doesn't love anything. And so we have to go back again to this passage from Deuteronomy, to the experience of the Jewish people, to our experience as Christians, and say, God does love us. But why? Why does God love us? And it, of course, is Jesus who gives us the answer to that question in the way that he talks about his Father and the Holy Spirit that he will send, by teaching us to understand God as, yes, one in being, but at the same time, mysteriously, three in person. That God is within himself, at his deepest level, a community, a relationship, you might even say a family. Then what we come to understand about God is that God is love. This is what St. John writes in his letter. God is love. And so, because he is love, because he is relationship, because he is goodness within himself, he loves us, not because he needs to, but because that is just how love is. That's how goodness is. It wants to give. It wants to share its own love. And so, only as Christians, only in this understanding of God as both one God, but three persons, can we really answer that question? Why does God love us? Not because he has to, not because he needs us or our love to be happy himself, but because he is love and he overflows in love. And so as we come today to receive the great sign and sacrament of his love that Jesus also gave us, his own flesh and blood in the Holy Eucharist, we praise God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for not only being God, the perfect one who everything else comes from and returns to, but for being also three in person, for being love, and for loving us.